April 6th, 2024, Abhayagiri Monastery. And it's springtime, so post-winter retreat. And I was trying to not quite hit the ground running, so I made a point of going to the Humboldt Vihara for 4 nights. Got back yesterday. And it's nice to have these little places we can go where there's not so much happening. And but we have such a beautiful monastery here, so this is also a wonderful place to be. And the topic of spring cleaning has come into my mind. So Longpo Cha was known to say that if you want to notice somebody's mind, you don't have to have psychic powers. You just open the front door of their kuti and look in. Then you know what their mind is like. So our kuti, if we want to know what our mind is like, we're kind of wondering, where am I at? Go back to your kuti tonight, open the door, and just take stock of things and look. What do you see? So if our kuti is a mess, then we can make efforts to clean it. Sometimes the mess is so bad that it's daunting. It would be a daunting task to clean our kuti. So we have to actually take it in stages. Say, okay, well, first I'll tackle this corner. And after I do that corner, maybe the next day I can do the other corner. And maybe after 4 days or after a week, say, okay, now I can see the floor. So now I can get down on my hands and knees and do some cleaning, clean the baseboards. Where is there dust? Clean off all the dust. What do I have on the windowsills? Oh, right, I can't. I have a bunch of stuff on that windowsill. Clean off the windowsill. And then we might have a cabinet and we say, okay, well, I'm just going to throw everything into that cabinet. Stuff everything in the cabinet. So it's kind of out of sight. And yet, it's still there. It's not really dealt with. It's not really put away properly. So our kuti might seem clean when we walk in, but then everything's just stuffed in a cabinet. Or everything's just swept under the rug. So we pick up the rug, clean it off. So the mind is the same. And cleaning the mind might seem like a daunting task. And we really have to take it in stages. This came up into my mind when I wanted to clean the workshop. And if I just look at the whole workshop, I think this is really going to be difficult. It's a daunting task. But if I just take one corner, one section, one cabinet, one table, take it one stage at a time, then it becomes doable. So one day, okay, I'm going to take this table one item at a time, put everything away. Okay, where does this thing go? Put that away. Okay, where does this little bob go? Okay, put that away. And then over time, it does start to become clean and it starts to shine. And with the mind, then we might think, okay, yeah, there's this one aspect I kind of need to work on, and then I can work on that. And then there's another aspect maybe I can work on. I can work on that. This is the Noble Eightfold Path, so I could work on my precepts, actions, body, speech. How am I doing there? How is that going? And we can work on mindfulness, we can work on meditation, but if we take the whole thing all together, it can seem like a daunting task. It might seem impossible to be able to train the mind. But just take one step at a time. Take it really slow. Just put one little bit away at the time. Just really, and putting our heart into the activity. then we can start to see things a bit more clearly. So in the event that we decide to clean our kuti, then once we can see the floor, we might be inclined to just, you know, take a quickie mop and kind of quickly do the floor. We might spray some Windex on the floor, quickly do the floor. Because that's really just the easy way to do it. But then if we were to look closely, there's still dust at the bottom of the baseboards because the quickie mop can't actually get to the edge of those baseboards. We actually have to get down on our hands and knees with a paper towel and actually go around the baseboard. Then it's clean. So we might keep the precepts, and we might think, oh, things are a lot better in the mind. But then if we really look at the edges, there's still dust there, still needs to be cleaned. So we really need to get in there and really do some cleaning. And it takes a bit more effort. So it takes directed and concerted effort, focused effort over a long period of time to be able to train the mind. And then when we do clean our kuti, we might take the whole day. It might take multiple days to do it, and then it's clean. Okay, great. And then, but we find we've only been looking at the ground. We haven't looked up yet. So, okay, there's spider webs. So we need to get up there, clean those cobwebs. So very much like the mind, we might think, okay, been putting a lot of effort into this. I'm good. Yeah. Mind is somewhat at ease, somewhat peaceful. And then there's something we're not seeing. Conceit, the sense of self. We need to look up. We need to see, oh, right, the whole way I'm relating to things, I need to look at that. So then once the kuti is clean, we've cleaned the spider webs off the ceiling, checked behind the blinds. I found that's a blind spot behind the blinds. No pun intended. So you lift up the blinds. I found that's where black widows like to live. The spiders like to make their nests there. So I found I could clean my kuti a lot, and then I would, all right, I haven't looked behind those blinds for a while. And looking behind them, there's a big mess up there. So I can clean that as well. And then it might be completely spotless. Everything is good. And then in a few days, it's dirty again. So we need to do it all over again. But then once we get into the habit of doing it, it can actually stay in a state of being clean and shining. And we can take it up and up and up to higher and higher levels. So our kuti might be clean, but then it's like, okay, well now it's time to address all the hidden stuff, all the stuff I've stuffed into those cabinets. So now it's time to open the cabinet and take all the stuff out, lay it out, what's there. So there's all sorts of things in the mind that we may have repressed or ignored, and actually it's just like stuffing things into a cabinet. So things we may have ignored that we just don't want to look at. And then we might even forget that it's there. So we really need to go in, open the cabinets, take everything out, lay it out. What do I need? What I don't need? What's useful? What's not useful? And find a place for it and put it away neatly. And then you might have some space in those cabinets. So that's making space in the deeper recesses of the mind. So just spring cleaning and some hints for actually keeping the kuti more clean. And this can really help to brighten the mind, because our Dhamma practice is not disconnected from these external things. In fact, it's going to be a sign of how our practice is going. So when we get up in the morning, what do? First thing, make the bed. So take our blankets, fold them up. That's going to start to brighten the mind, start our day off on a good note. And, okay, fold up the blankets, put them away, set things up, hang things up, put them in their place. Okay, come down for morning puja. If it's a period where we're having morning puja, then when we go back to our kuti after the meal, it makes it a lot easier to further take stock of things. And if it's too messy, we're not even going to want to deal with it. Just be like, okay, just kind of accept it. But we do have to have this factor of skillful discontent where we actually say, I think I could do better than this. Pick things up, start putting them away. And so that's one, is getting up in the morning, make the bed. That's number one. Number two is actually taking stock of what we're using and what we're not using. So books, how many books do we have in our kuti? How many of them are we actually reading? And try to take on a practice of just have one book at a time. Just, unless we're doing some sort of in-depth sutta study where we might have to have some suttas in our kuti, try to just have one book at a time. Just read one book at a time. Don't be like, okay, I'm going to read half of this book, then half of this other book, and then we have 10 books with bookmarks in different places in them in our kuti. Try to read one book, finish it, then we can read another book. That's practice. That's learning how to focus. We don't need to be jumping all over the place. And jumping all over the place, the mind is going to be jumping all over the place. We've got bookmarks in 10 different books. That's where the mind is at. It's got unfinished business all over the place. So, okay, am I going to finish this book or not? If I'm not, I'm going to put it back in the library, put it away. I've got tools in my kuti. What am I using? What am I not using? Anything I'm currently not using. This is a practice I learned in Thailand, actually, and I would hear it talked about, that anything, we once a week or once every 2 weeks, we can take stock of everything we have at our kuti, and whatever we haven't used for 2 weeks or a month, we put it away. We don't need it. So just really minimizing what's burdening us in the kuti, because otherwise it's just going to build up. We might bring one tool to our kuti and then we're not really using it, but we think we might need to use it in the future, and then we bring another tool and then there's a clutter. So just really paring it down, really simplifying. It's a great blessing to live in these monasteries because the kutis are Sangha property, so we could, at least in the time of Longpo Cha, he could ask you to move kutis any time. He could ask you, say, okay, tomorrow you're going to a branch monastery, or in 1 hour you're going to a branch monastery, gather your things. So we can ask ourselves, okay, if we were asked here, if I was asked here, okay, in 1 hour you're going to another monastery, gather your things, would we be able to do it in 1 hour? Would we be able to gather all our things together? Or how many trips in the DV would it be just to bring our things down, just to change kutis? So we want to be able to have things pared down to the point where it would just be one or two trips. Just it wouldn't be, you know, for most people it's renting a U-Haul. And if you have a house and you're looking after a household and you want to move, it's a whole huge ordeal. And so we're actually cultivating the opposite of that with living in the monastery. Just if we need to move, just being able to easily move anywhere. And what a lack of burdens, what a relief to be able to do that. So I've found that this act of cleaning, of just keeping the kuti clean, can really help with the practice, really brighten the mind. Also found when doing cleaning, sometimes you discover hidden treasures, you know, things that maybe you thought you had lost, you end up finding them. That's one of the many benefits of cleaning. And then maybe we haven't done our laundry for a while, so we might have piles of laundry stacked up in the corners of the kuti. And so we say, okay, going to do all that laundry. But before we do that, we need to check our pockets. We might have all sorts of things falling out in the washing machine if we don't check our pockets. Oh, I've experienced this so many times. Going to the washing machine and torn up Kleenexes all over the place. So we need to check our pockets first, or pens where they've broken. Pens in the pocket and then they break in the wash. And sometimes we do communal wash here, and then, okay, I have to deal with that. Or we check our pockets and we find something we thought we'd misplaced, we thought we'd lost. So really, this is really like investigating the mind. And the way the meditation masters in Thailand talk about it is also like sweeping. When we sweep the paths, and when we make a path really immaculate, that's how we're going to relate to training the mind. So we talk about purifying the mind, cleaning the mind, you know, making the mind immaculate, you know, polishing the mind. All these practices we do are geared towards that mind training. And yeah, I found cleaning the kuti when I was during my second bhikkhu vasa. This is normally a time when bhikkhus get depressed. So I was very depressed during this vasa. It's generally the time when the initial inspiration of coming to the monastery fades away, is around then. We call it the honeymoon phase, and that passes away usually around the second bhikkhu vasa. It usually can't last longer than that. And so then one tends to get a bit depressed, or very depressed in my case. And I actually found that taking on a practice of cleaning the kuti every day helped me to kind of rise out of that. And I found even if it didn't need it, I would actually wipe the floor down every day. And I found that it was incredibly helpful for getting through that period. Not just giving in to the depressed mental states, but finding ways, finding tactics, finding techniques to really just get through it, to remain somewhat active, somewhat alive, not just giving into that mental state of just wanting to just be done with everything. So we can try this out. It's a great thing to be doing. Once we figure out how to keep our own scene clean, then we can start to actually help others. So we might start doing it in more of a communal way, or recommending how people can do this for themselves, or helping out cleaning the communal areas. So they need to develop this. Say, Abhayagiri is a very clean, beautiful monastery, and built up the generosity, the beautiful mental states of large groups of people coming here and giving offerings, being very generous, people who have donated flowers, helped beautify the shrine around this beautiful Buddha Rupa, the weekly cleaning that we do in here, and mopping the floor, really putting our hearts into the activity, cleaning the kitchen each week, sweeping the roads. Everything that we do in a communal way really helps everybody. It helps everybody. So we're not just helping ourselves with this. It helps everybody. And then you have this communal sense of joy and refreshment, and people can live with ease and contentment, even a large number of people. We can live together with ease and contentment. That's a rare thing in the world. So when we see that we've done something that is not that common in the world, living in harmony, living at ease, living with a sense of contentment and refreshment, keeping things clean, not only does it have a practical aspect of warding off disease and illness, but it also wards off that defilements and mental states leading us to a sense of lassitude and just not wanting to be involved with things. And it doesn't mean we necessarily get intoxicated with these things. Ajahn Amaro uses the phrase unentangled participation. So we're participating in everything, but we're not attaching to it, not getting entangled with it. You know, participating in what needs to be done, doing what needs to be done, and then getting back to our personal practice. So we do this cleaning and this type of brightening of the mind. We do it as a community as well. So cleaning is one aspect of Dhamma, which is very, very helpful. It's even lined out in the Vinaya how to clean our kutis, just basic things. The Buddha's saying, don't just wipe the floor around the bed legs and the chair legs. Actually take the bed out, take the chair out. Then you clean the floor. That's right there in the Vinaya. The temperature regulation of the kutis is right there in the Vinaya. When it's hot outside, open the windows during the night, close them during the day. Your kuti will stay comfortable. When it's cold outside, open your windows during the day and close them during the night. Just these basic things are lined out as to how to do them since the time of the Buddha. If you're leaving your dwelling place for a period of time, set it in order. Make sure you're not leaving anything in there, and you can then leave without leaving any trace. Or the standard that Lungpur Cha would talk about, when you spend time in a dwelling place, when you leave, make sure it was better than the way you found it. You know, can we actually do that? And I've traveled with Wat Pa Pong monks in Thailand. They really follow that practice. It's really important. Even staying in hotel rooms, make sure even the hotel room is better than you found it. Do something somehow to make it even better. And you don't, from a worldly perspective, you think, well, I'm paying for this hotel room. You know, they're the ones who have to clean it. But this is actually a Dhamma practice. So our practice is expressed everywhere we go. And traveling with Wat Pa Pong monks in Thailand, then, yeah, they're even in a hotel room. They're emptying the garbage, taking it with them, not leaving anything behind, not leaving a trace, wiping things down a bit. And then you never know what kind of effect that's going to have on somebody. Could actually plant the seeds of Dhamma in the heart of a cleaner who works the hotel. They might be like, hey, who stayed here before? This is unusual. I'm going to look into this. Or just the other day, there was, when we were still in the last days of the winter retreat, somebody came here who had never been to the monastery before, and they were full of faith because everything was so clean, and it really caused them to have confidence that there were people practicing well in this monastery. And so everything we do, it really has an effect. It's not just for ourselves, but it actually can really affect other people in a positive way. And before we went to the Humboldt Vihara, a few of us, we were paying respects to the Green Buddha, the Pra Abhayagiri Siri Saranankara downstairs outside of the library, paying respects to that Buddha before going to visit the Humboldt Vihara and noticing that it was dirty. It hadn't been cleaned in a while. It had dust on it. Oh, we've got some time. We're a bit early, so we just see that dirtiness, and then the three of us just, it didn't take that long, actually, to roll the air compressor down, blow off all the dust, take some damp rags, polish it up a bit, and then pay respects to it. Then we just, that kind of set the tone for our trip, and it's just ended up being very pleasant, very beneficial. So sometimes when we see something, we just, if we see something and an opportunity for generosity, an opportunity for the cultivation of a wholesome mental state, if we act on it, that's very important. We're going to get the results from that. So as we start our kind of normal part of the year outside of the winter retreat, beginning of April, spring cleaning is always good to think about and just keep the mind bright, set the tone for the rest of the year, and keep it positive. Just something as simple as keeping our surroundings clean can really be the root of cleaning our mind. So just offer that for reflection this evening, just to give encouragement in that direction. I'll leave it at that.